For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. In your life, do you feel the pressure to keep up with the Joneses? Have you ever fallen into the trap of material possessions that didn't live up to its promise? The Bible warns us about pursuing temporary pleasures instead of laying up our treasure in the eternal matters. Luke records in his gospel an account of Jesus contrasting the life of a beggar with the life of a wealthy man. Each one lived dissimilar lives on earth, but also had very different outcomes in eternity. Turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 16, as we hear the conclusion of the sermon, A Portrait of a Wasted Life.
We find a man in Luke 16, beginning verse 19, that was a very rich man. He had everything the world seemed to have to offer him, but yet he rejected the most important thing, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, you may be successful in this life. You may live a good life. You may make a lot of money. You may have a nice home and drive a nice car. You may have money in the bank and literally have no need of anything. But yet we'll become as the Laodicean church was. They felt they had no need of nothing, when in all reality what we need is we need God more than we've ever needed Him before in our life. I'll not read the entire scripture. We'll look at it as we go. But I'll begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, if you would, just try to envision in your mind exactly the two men. Here's a man with a lot of money, fared sumptuously every day, had everything he needed, clothes to wear, food to eat, everything that he could have possibly wanted or imagined in his life, he had. And yet, here on the other side, outside of the gate, there was a man by the name of Lazarus, and Lazarus sat begging every day just for the crumbs off of his table. In verse number 22, all this time, it didn't give us a time period, but it came to pass that the beggar died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. He lived in this world as if this world was all there was to live for. Friend, living in this world is just the beginning of where we will live in eternity. We can invest everything we have in this world, but when death comes, we will not take it with us. Heard one preacher say, and I agree, we've never seen a U-Haul following the hearse to the cemetery. You won't take it with you. You may have everything there is to have, and you may have it, but every one of us is going to die. We're going to face death no matter what. And we need to understand today, we need to be prepared when that day comes. Now, I believe according to this scripture, doesn't give us a great deal of detail, but I believe that obviously it was a sudden death. You know, oftentimes we're shocked. We hear people die, and you say, well, I just saw them yesterday. Well, they were here last night, and they died in their sleep. What happened? The Lord took them. It was time for them to go, and He took them out. And yet we see this rich man was stopped. And yet, although he was satisfied and although he was selfish, the day came when he died and he had to face the Lord. The second thing we notice is he died a wretched death. In verses 23 through 26, the Bible said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Friend, today, death is not the end. Death is the beginning. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, and it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, sometimes at a funeral service, people like, they don't mind you quoting 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but they don't like to hear that last part, and after this, the judgment. Friend, I want you to know today, we will not get into heaven by Peter accepting or rejecting. We'll not get into heaven by angels that will declare whether we've been good enough. We're going to get to heaven because we believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, death for some is going to be a rude awakening. I believe many people that have been witnessed to, many people that have sat in church, and many people that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be wakened rudely when they find out exactly where they are. We find death finds us and eternity keeps us. And oh, what a wretched death it would be to die and go to hell. We find not only that, but first of all, we find his suffering. Look at verse 23. He said, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The torments of hell are many. If you'll follow along, I'll give them to you quickly. First of all, it's a place of punishment. Matthew 25:41. Then he shall say also with them unto the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to understand, hell was not prepared for you. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but if you reject God, it's exactly where you'll end up. It's a place of punishment. It's a place of unquenchable fire. The Bible said in the book of, look at verse 24. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham. Now listen, if you don't believe, you got to either believe the Bible or not believe the Bible. And the Bible said he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. It's an unquenchable fire. He said, he cried and he said, Lord, have mercy. And who does he want to come to him? He wants Lazarus, the beggar, the man full of sores, the man that was begging from his table, the man that didn't have anything. If you'd just send Lazarus that he would dip the tip of his fingers in the water and quench my thirst from this unquenchable fire. It was going to be memory and remorse. Look at verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Friend, I believe when you get to heaven or when you get to hell, heaven or hell, but I believe especially in hell, you're going to be reminded of the things that you did not do and the things that you should have done in putting your faith in Christ. And I believe the Scripture bears that out. Here's the man, he said, remember, I believe there's going to be men and women and boys and girls that have heard the gospel. They've heard it preached. They've had somebody witness to them. They've had somebody share it with them. They've had people tell them how to get saved. And they have rejected it time and time and time again. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Sorry, I never knew you. Look in verse 24 and 25. Well, we won't read verse 24 again, but he talked about the cool water that he might have. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime receivest the good things. Lazarus didn't have the good things. He had the bad things. Look at the misery of pain that he has in there. You can only imagine the pain that he has in being in hell. He's tormented by the flame. It's a place of undiluted wrath. It's a place literally where he's going to suffer forever and ever. But notice what he said. It's a place of frustration and anger. Matthew 13:42, and he shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now again, I don't know how other to explain it except the way that God has so plainly put it, is when we die, we'll either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. It's going to be a time of separation. In fact, we find that in verse 25 and 26. He talks about Abraham. He said, remember the things. But look at verse 26. And he said, beside all this, he said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. When we die, those who go to hell are going to be separated from those in heaven. And there's not going to be a way for those in heaven to get the ones in hell. And there's not going to be a way for those in hell to get those in heaven. We're going to be separated forever and ever. You see, I want to share with you, there's going to be a lot of things that won't be in hell. First of all, God will not be in hell. I want you to know your friends will not be in hell. And I'm going to tell you, in my lifetime of preaching and talking to my friends, some of my friends from the past, they one of their favorite terms is, well, I'll just go to hell and I'll just be there with all my friends. Yep, you'll be there with all your friends, but you'll have no idea that they're there. You'll have no idea of consciousness of where they are, but they'll be suffering just like you are in a place called hell. You'll be separated from your loved ones. Man, you talk about getting pride over your family. Friend, it ought to break our hearts today to know that we have family that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. I tell you to know that one day when we leave this earth, I have hope that I will see my loved ones again. I have hope that I'm going to be in heaven and enjoy what they have. But I want you to know in hell, your loved ones that are saved won't be there, and you'll never see them again. Then I want you to see a worrisome realization. Hell will be populated. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I want you to understand, he's praying. The rich man, he wasn't in hell alone, and he knew he wasn't. But there's one thing he did know. He knew that he had five brothers at home. And he knew that he did not want them to come there. He said, would you please send him to my brothers so they wouldn't come? Friend, if a man in hell is concerned about lost people, how much more should you and I as Christians be concerned about lost people? Friend, church is not a social gathering. Church is not a place where we come to tickle your ear. It's not a place where we come to just enjoy fellowship, although we do. But it's a place where we come to tell you the truth of the Word of God. He said, I have five brethren. It's personal to me. I want you to know it's personal. And as long as they stay lost, they cannot be saved. So we find that the population will be very personal. The time to reach him is now. Look at verse 29. Abraham said unto him, listen. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And by the way, he did too. He had Moses and the prophets while he lived, but he wouldn't hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. See, this man ignored the preaching of the Word of God. This man went through life and he didn't want to listen to anybody or do anything. And literally, the Lord reminded him. He said, I want you to know that if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they're not going to hear anybody else. He said, oh, they would. I'm going to tell you today, I have experienced in my life people that have had things happen to them. And literally, I thought it was going to be the turning point to bring them to Christ. But after a period of time, their hearts hardened. And they went right back to the place where they were, never to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, he said you've had all you needed. You didn't need God. But you know today God says to each and every one of us, come and be saved. We're fortunate today to have the gospel. We're fortunate today to know that he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, there's no reason why anybody should walk out of this building today and not know beyond a shadow of a doubt they're going to heaven. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, preacher, it's too simple. Yep, it was so simple that even Lazarus, a beggar full of sores, at least trusted Christ and he went to heaven. I'm haunted by the fact that anybody would be in the position of in hell and lifting up their eyes.
What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Have you secured your soul for eternity? We at Victory Baptist Church would welcome the opportunity to help you know for sure. Join us again next week as we conclude this message, A Portrait of a Wasted Life. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.